Hey y'all, it's Woe Susanna. Welcome to episode 5 of the How May I Offend You Today podcast. You can catch this podcast on my Facebook page at Woe Susanna, as well as listening to it now as you are. You can find it on the internet, Google it up, find it. So today we've got a good word, something that was laid on my heart. I like to say that. Something that was laid on my heart so that you know it's legit. It's not just me talking out of my butt. It was really laid on my heart today. The episode, of course, is titled Storms. And I think it's a stormy season in so many ways right now. It's an absolute stormy season, not only literal storms with Hurricane Sally and the past hurricanes slamming the Gulf Coast, but also storms in our personal lives and storms in our nation. Today is not a political podcast. We'll save that for another time. But today is just something that was honestly laid on my heart. September is a hard month for me. Today is September the 16th. On September the 18th is my anniversary. How long have we been married? Let's see. 2005, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 15 years. Been married 15 years this weekend, September the 18th, which that doesn't mean that that makes it a hard month. But some other things make September just a real crappy month. September the 19th, I'm sorry, September the 10th of 2011 is the day that my godfather passed away. I always say, if you know my testimony, you know I had three parents. I had my mom, my biological dad, and then I had my godfather who stepped in as my dad for me years and years ago after my father passed away. He suddenly passed away on 9/10/11. Of a heart attack, and it was very traumatic for all of us. That it just kind of put a damper on September, like Green Day singer says, "Wake me up when September ends." My dad's birthday is September the 20th, 1949, and my dad passed away when I was 11 of a heart attack. Very hard day to remember him and miss him. But my mother passed away on September 20th. 2015. So I always say, you know, what a great birthday present that was for my dad to be reunited with her in heaven on his earthly birthday. It's got to be going to Red Lobster for cheddar biscuits like they used to do. But September is just kind of a weary month, just a month of a lot of things back to back to back happening there. That just reminds me of some sad times, some hard times, the people that I love and have lost. Although we haven't lost our loved ones, if they are believers of Christ, we know exactly where they are. They are not lost. They are with our Savior in heaven. But I was just thinking about this month and about storms and how we're all going through them, as I said earlier, literal storms, but also it's a stormy time for our nation and for the world. It's just a stormy time. We're always going through stormy times. But right now just seems particularly stormy. It's just real stormy out there. Like, you better put on some galoshes and put on a parka and just weather some things. You got to weather some things. You got to be Jim Cantore and just weather some things. So I'm thinking of a scripture. I've got some notes over here written down. So if you're watching me on Facebook Live right now, you will see me glancing over here to this side, my left side, which probably looks like the right to you because it's reversed. Let's not go off a squirrel chasing a nut here. So Matthew chapter 8, 23 through 27 says, "Then Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly, they didn't see it coming, okay? Let's pick apart words. Suddenly, it didn't say gradually a storm. They went outside and rolled up their windows because they knew it was going to. No, suddenly, a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up shouting, "Lord, save us. Lord, why are you sleeping? Wake up, Lord. Save us. We are going to drown." Jesus responded. I can just see him sitting up in the boat, sleepy-eyed. And he responded, "Why are you afraid?" We get on Jesus' nerves sometimes. Let's just say it. We do. Our lack of faith has got to get on Jesus' nerves. It's got to. Jesus responded, "Why are you afraid? You have so little faith." Then he got up, rebuked the wind and the waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. The disciples were amazed. "Who is this man?" they asked. "Even the winds and the waves obey him." Aren't we just like the disciples in this passage? Aren't we like them? When a storm starts brewing in our lives or in our country, we see these storms on the news, literally and figuratively. We run to Jesus all in a tizzy with our arms just flailing, right? "Jesus, wake up, wake up." We shout and we rant and we sob and we get all in our feels. We lose our faith. We are most definitely meant, of course, to go to our Savior. They did the right thing. They did the right thing. They went and woke Jesus. They went to Jesus. They did the right thing. So they didn't just stand there and frozen in fear and sob and cry. They did the right thing. They went to Jesus, as we are called to do with every petition and every prayer that we have. But maybe we need to just chill a little bit. Maybe we need to channel our inner Lexapro a little bit and chill out. It's important to remember that when Jesus got into the boat with his followers, he knew that storm was coming. He knew that waves were going to break onto the boat and that the winds would rip through the sails. He knew all this. This was not a surprise to Jesus. Jesus is not caught off guard. Let's remember that. The Lord is not caught off guard. We forget that he's like us, wondering what in the world's going. No. He knew what was happening, what was coming on this boat, and yet he took a nap. He wasn't the least bit worried about that storm. He wasn't worried about his disciples in that storm either. He's like the author. When I write a book, I know how it's going to end. I know what my characters are going to go through, and I'm writing their story. They have to go through some things, but I know how it's... Jesus is our author, right? He wasn't worried about the storm. He wasn't worried about the disciples in that storm. He already knew the outcome. He already knew that he could quiet the wind and the waves with one command. One. Whether he put up his hand or spoke a word or what, or just thought it, spoke it, we don't know. He knew he could calm everything that was chaotic in that moment. So when we are in the midst of storms in our lives, the passing of loved ones, confusion, anxiety, worry, whatever's going on in the world, it is imperative to remember, and we so often forget, the enemy wants us to forget who is in control. God, our author, knows the twists and turns that are going to take place in our story and the storms and the valleys of in our lives, and he's already worked them for our good. Romans 8:28, he works all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So when the storm comes into our story, instead of having so little faith that we run around terrified and shouting to the Lord and rocking the boat, we need to just calmly trust him. They could have gone to him and said, "Lord, now wake up! Wake up, Lord, wake up!" They could have just said, "Lord, you know there's a storm coming, Lord, and we have our faith in you. We have our trust in you." Sometimes, I said this in my book, Can't Make This Stuff Up, that came out last year. Sometimes God quiets the storm, but sometimes he quiets us in the storm. I can't take credit for that quote. I heard that somewhere and it just always stuck with me. He does not always calm the storms in our lives, because oftentimes the storms are needed to grow us in some way. Think about the climate of our country right now. Are we growing from that? Yes, there's division. But back to Romans 8:28. He's working all things together for good for those who love him. Those storms are needed to grow us in some way. But our best umbrella in a storm, our best poncho, our best rain boots, our best shelter, our best cover in a storm is our faith. Think about this. Do you walk around in your poncho with your umbrella and your rain galoshes on when it's a sunny day? No. If you do, somebody's going to call somebody to have a psych eval. We don't walk around in those things and in that armor, right, on sunny days. We walk around in that stuff in a storm, right? Sometimes a shower, though, is just what we need to exercise our faith in Him. So if you are in the midst of a storm right now, remember, it's so imperative to remember who is in control. Who is in control of our pandemics and injustice and intolerance and hatred? Who is in control of all of these divisions going on in our nation? But yet, who is also in control of the personal storms in our lives, no matter what they may be? Relationships, children, family, jobs, the death of loved ones, whatever. Who knows, who is all knowing and is in control of the outcome? Who is in control of the outcome? The enemy wants you to forget that. The enemy wants you to forget that Jesus is on the boat with you. Okay? He's on the boat with you. And He is not the least bit worried about it. He is not worried about your future. Your storm is coming as no surprise to Him. He is already working this storm for your good. Maybe it is just as it was for the apostles to exercise their faith. Right? So we're called to pull out our umbrella of faith and weather these storms that come our way. Personally, whatever you got going on. Proverbs 10:25 says, when the whirlwind passes, okay, so you've got this storm going on, but when the whirlwind passes, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. So God is so merciful and He's so loving to calm the storm or calm us in it, one of the two. He's going to do one of the two. Sometimes the storm rages for a while, but He gives us a peace that passeth all understanding through it. He is so kind to work every storm for our good. He is so kind to give us beauty for ashes and rainbows for lightning and all those terms that you can use of turning bad into good. That's what our God does. That's what He does. Because faith in Him makes all of the difference. So back to Proverbs 10:25. I love the comfort found in that proverb. So it assures us that in God's perfect timing, the storm will come to an end, right? The whirlwind's going to pass. All right, we're going to tip back over our patio table that blew over. We're going to go get all the debris out of the yard, right? And the wicked will be no more. But, there is a but. But, the righteous has an everlasting foundation. There's a big but there, and I cannot lie. And it's pretty important. But the righteous has an everlasting foundation. We do not like to exclude anybody from anything. Excluding people from things is offensive to us. Excluding people from things is not fair. Excluding anyone from anything seems harsh, as we want to be welcoming and loving to all. And I agree with that. I don't want to be a person of exclusion. But there is a but there that we cannot ignore, because it does not say everyone will have a righteous foundation. It does not say that everyone will be blessed through their storms. And I'm not using this as a scare tactic. This is just something to be aware of. It does say a but. It does not say everyone will find relief amidst that whirlwind. It does not say everyone gets the rainbow. And this is, again, not fear-mongering. because there's so much peace. There's perfect love cast out fear. Perfect, this is not to scare you, it's to inform you. The righteous, it says, are the ones who are given grace and mercy and purpose in their storms. The righteous are the ones with the everlasting foundation. Well, who in the world is righteous? No, not one, right? Webster's dictionary, good old Webster, says righteous, morally right or justifiable, virtuous, good, or excellent. I don't know about you, but those are not synonyms that I use to describe myself. Okay, I've only been awake for what? Almost 5 hours now. And this morning alone, I have been far from virtuous and righteous. Okay, I've already had thoughts today about certain things that would probably send me straight to hell. Let's just be honest. I am not virtuous or righteous. None of us are. We are not righteous. None of us are righteous, no, not one. The standard is way too high. It is impossible for any human, including you and celebrities and pastors and whoever, it is impossible for any human to be morally right, virtuous, and good all of the time, 100% of the time. It's impossible. That's the only word I can come up with. It's unfathomable. It's not possible. But praise God, again, perfect love cast out fear. Okay? Here's the good news. Are you ready for the good news? True righteousness, that righteousness is possible only through the cleansing of sin by Jesus and the Holy Spirit within us. We cannot achieve righteousness on your own. You are not made righteous by keeping the nursery at church, by baking all the cookies for all the bake sales, by washing cars, by donating to GoFundMes every day of your life, by all of the good things you do, by allowing someone to cut in front of you in carpool line. All of these things are noble and virtuous and wonderful things. I'm not telling you they don't count for something. They do count for something. Absolutely they do. Absolutely they do. But that's not what makes us righteous. Okay? We cannot achieve righteousness on our own. Again, there's that word impossible. It's impossible. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In him we might become the righteousness of God. Not in all of our good works and our good deeds and being nice, good people, holding doors open for the elderly and all those things, which are good things. They're good things. I'm not telling you to slam a door in an elderly woman's face because it's not going to get you into heaven. I'm telling you they are good things. They are good things. But the scriptures say, in Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. So at Calvary, Christ exchanged our sin for his perfect righteousness so that we can one day blamelessly stand before God. Instead of seeing all the wretched things we've done, all the wretched things I've done, all the wretched things I've said, all the wretched things I've thought, my nasty attitude, the horrible things that I have done and said and the way I've lived my life, instead of seeing all the things, those terrible sinful nature things that I have done, the Lord will only see the holy righteousness given to us by what Jesus did on the cross. So if we go back to the scripture in Proverbs, if we are made blameless through Christ and we believe what he did on the cross was for us, and we humble ourselves before him, get rid of our own pride of how darn good we think we are and morally correct we think we are, and instead humble ourselves before him and admit we can do nothing apart from him, then we are considered righteous and we are promised that firm and everlasting foundation in Proverbs after the whirlwind passes. Those who refuse to believe in Jesus are not promised that. As I said, as a society, we don't like to exclude anyone. But the Bible, the Word of God, which does not waver and does not fail and does not change because the year is 2020, the Bible is firm on this. Not everyone is promised what the righteous are promised. They're just not. We all know someone who has one storm after another. There seems to be no relief in sight. Through the storms, they are bitter and mad at the world and everyone in it and everyone on Facebook and every article they read and every this and every that. And they spread this dissension and this anger and this bitterness. They exhaust themselves trying to fight their way through the storm, only to be pelted with more wind, more rain. They are miserable. They don't learn lessons. There's really no purpose in their storm because they're lost. We can be assured that there's purpose in our storms as followers of Christ. But some people are just lost. It's just a storm with no meaning. It's just there to flip over their patio table and break the Bradford pear in the front tree, and there's no purpose to it at all. None. Where is their relief? They have none. There's no relief. And this sounds exclusive, but it's because they aren't made righteous through Christ. That's just what it is. I'm not saying I'm better than them because I'm saved and born again. I'm saying I acknowledge I'm a sinner and I acknowledge I can't do anything on my own. I acknowledge I need Jesus every day of my life, every minute of my life. I acknowledge that I'm wretched and I'm a sinner. I acknowledge I cannot fix this storm or calm this storm. I can't do it. I acknowledge that I rely solely on Him. I acknowledge that Jesus lives in my heart and the Holy Spirit lives within me and I am a steward of His word. I acknowledge those things. And when we acknowledge those things, the Bible clearly states we're made righteous in Christ if we accept Him as our Savior. This is why it is so important, my brothers and sisters in Christ, that those made blameless through our belief in Christ need to share the good news of Christ with our lost brothers and sisters. Because when their mom dies or when their dad dies and they don't have Christ to turn to, they are lost and stuck in this storm with no relief in sight, right? We are commissioned as the hands and feet of Jesus to let them know there is hope in these storms. There is hope in this world, in this nation. There is hope amongst all this pandemic. There is hope in things. There is hope in storms. They can do nothing to control the storm except to surrender their hearts and lives to Christ by believing and accepting that what He did on the cross was for them. It was for you. It was for me. It was for the lost. It was for all of us. Too many people are hurting. Too many people are hurting in their personal lives, but also in this hot, heated, ridiculous political climate, that there's so much fear. People are scared to death of what they see when they turn on the news or when they read Twitter or when they read, and it's constantly shoved down our throats 24/7 how horrible this world is. Constantly. And those who don't know Christ are scared as hell. They're scared to death. They're hurting. They don't know the good news. They don't know the good news. And we, as saved sisters and brothers in Christ, need to tell them. We have to tell them. It is our job to go into the world and make disciples of them. It is our job to go and tell them. With all the voices coming at them, we may be their voice of truth to tell them the good news. It is our job. We are commissioned. We have a higher calling. It is our job to give them hope through their storms and offer them the everlasting foundation to tell them the way, to show them the way, the truth, and the life. And as you stand firm on the everlasting foundation of Christ, and as you navigate through life's storms with hope and encouragement, that can only be found through faith. We are called to share that knowledge and let people who are lost and who are hurting and who are afraid know that righteousness is attainable for them as well. Some people honestly do not know that. We are to be missionaries. We do not have to go to India to be a missionary, although I'm not knocking that. That's a wonderful thing to go and preach the gospel all over the world. Praise God for it. But we should become missionaries as soon as we step out our back door, our front door, our window. If we're crawling out of a window, I don't know why we would be. But whenever we go out into the world, we are called to be missionaries. We are right here at home. Walmart can be your mission field. I saw a girl not long ago sitting in the car in Walmart crying. I don't know what she was crying about. And I'm still convicted and burdened that I did not just go knock on her window and say, "Can I pray with you?" Because I thought it. I thought it. And I believe the Lord was leading me to do that. But as so many times, I was disobedient. I'm certainly not righteous. I am disobedient to the Lord so many times. And I should have just knocked on her window and said, "Hey, I don't know how you feel about..." She may be an atheist. She may be a devout Christian, a Catholic. I don't know. But if I had done that part and gone and planted a seed, any seed, the Lord would have done the rest. We are called to be farmers and go plant some seeds. And the Lord will do the rest. The Lord will water that seed, He'll nurture that seed, and He will bring that crop to fruition. But somebody's got to put the seed down. Somebody's got to plant the seed. And as followers of Christ, we've got to plant the seed. Because some people don't have a clue. They're scared. They're lost. They don't know hope. Suicides are devastating because I have to believe that that is a product of no hope, of complete utter despair and loneliness and darkness. And if we're called to be lights, we need to be shining on some people. What good does a lamp do under a basket? Not a thing. Take the frickin' basket off. And I'm preaching to myself too. And be bold and go share your faith with somebody right now. We have social media now. Used to be if you wanted to go talk to somebody about the Lord, you had to go out, which I did say you still need to do that. It's your mission field. But you had to actually get out of your comfort zone and out of your home. And if you're terrified of talking to people, it was a challenge. So easy for us to minister to people. You can be sitting in your house and no pants and no bra. Hopefully you're home alone. You don't have company. But you can be sitting there, get on the internet, and post a scripture. And I don't mean posting scripture to fit your narrative or in a look at that angel flying by. It was a dust bunny. Or in a condescending way of, "I am better than you." Christians have got to stop doing that. But go sit down, ask the Lord to work through your fingertips. Sit down, and you want to be a real keyboard warrior, be a warrior for Christ, and go write something to uplift and show somebody about the love of Jesus Christ on the internet. Instead of wasting hours and hours, again preaching to myself, wasting hours and hours of your time sharing memes and political posts, preaching to myself, go preach some love of Christ to people that are lost and hurting. It is your obligation. You have been made righteous. Tell people about it. Tell people all the good things God has done for you. Tell Him how He pulled you up out of a pit of despair when your mama died. Tell him how he healed you of cancer. Tell him how he saved your children. Tell him how he protected you and saved your life in that car wreck. Tell these people how the Lord has worked for you. Go shout it from the rooftops and tell people what a good Father we serve and that he is still alive. He is still well. He is still on the throne. No matter what is going on in this country or in our personal lives, Jesus is still alive and well, and this is not a surprise to him. And he is saying, woe to you of little faith, and he can calm that storm with one word. Go tell somebody that today. Thank you for tuning in to this episode. I'm preaching to myself. I don't ever give a word to anybody that I have not already wrestled with. I wrestle with things with the Lord constantly. God is, thank God for his conviction. He is convicting me constantly of something, and I praise him for it. Without that conviction, I would still be the same old wretched, filthy person I was years ago. Thank you, Lord, for your conviction and accountability. But whenever I have a word, as I said, opening this podcast, laid on my heart, it's because it's been something that the Lord has, I have been wrestling with, and the Lord has opened my eyes to some things. And he's saying, Susanna, you've got a platform. You need to be preaching the word of God in this time. And I'm telling you, I may have a larger platform than some of you, but you've got a platform too. You are a missionary as well. I don't care if you've got two friends on your friends list, your crazy aunt and your somebody you went to church with back in 1997. I don't care who it is. And your old math teacher from high school, three friends. I don't care. You plant that seed, God is faithful to water it and nourish it and bring forth some fruit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now our praise and worship team is going to, I'm just kidding, there's no praise and worship team here. I would sing for you, but my Lord, the Lord did not give us all the gift of song. Can I get a hallelujah? My new book, How May I Offend You Today? Will be out October the 20th. And I do touch on this. Listen, quit being offended about telling people about Christ. Quit being offended about it. There is an angel flying around. Do y'all see that angel on Facebook Live flying around? No, it's really a dust bunny, I think. But you know what? Let's quit being offended about telling people good news. Listen, if people reject what we tell them, that's on them. We did what we were called to do. So if you go up to somebody or you make a video and you tell them what God has placed on your heart and the beautiful truths found in the Bible, and they accept what you're saying and a seed is planted and it grows, amen. God bless it. But if you do all of those things and tell someone, they say, you're full of crap. I don't believe this. You're full of crap. You've still planted a seed. And number two, you did what you were supposed to do, and the rest is on them. Just like if you see somebody panhandling on the side of the road. If I give them money, and my kids are like, Mama, but if you gave them money, what if they go buy drugs with it? Or what if they go do this with it? I don't care what they do with it. God tells me, give that man a $10 bill real quick while you're sitting here at this red light. I'm going to do it, and I'm not going to worry about the after effects. I did what God called me to do. What that person does with it is their own free will. Thank y'all for tuning in today to the podcast. How may I offend you today? Again, if you're watching me on Facebook, you can go back and watch this video again later. Or you can listen to it on Spotify, iTunes, Googles, and all these social media outlets and whatnot. Please share the podcast. Share the podcast with someone and be a disciple and be a steward for Christ. And let's just be called. Let's just fulfill our higher calling as brothers and sisters in Christ to tell people the good news. And I just thank y'all for all the love and the support. And I will be back soon to do another podcast. All right. God bless.